Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
This episode is also brought to you by Chris Salee, your local health markets insurance agency. Creative solutions for your health, Medicare, and life insurance needs. Personalized advice at 503-678-5768. Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Seven law enforcement officials have been placed on administrative leave following a domestic disturbance call that led to a deadly officer-involved shooting near Wilsonville Friday night. Clackamas County Sheriff's deputies were dispatched to a home on Southeast Wilsonville Road near Southwest Edmondson Road, just outside of Wilsonville, around 8 p.m. CCSO said a Tualatin police officer also responded to the call, along with two sergeants from the sheriff's office. A woman had called 911 to report that her husband was armed with a handgun, which he had fired prior to the police arrival and was threatening to kill her and himself, CCSO said in a release Saturday. Following the arrival of law enforcement, the man refused to comply with verbal commands and ignored officers' call for him to surrender his weapon. CCSO said several attempts were made to de-escalate the situation, but the man refused to stand down. During the ensuing interactions, police shot him, according to the sheriff's office. Four deputies, two CCSO sergeants, and police officer are now on paid administrative leave, standard practice following an officer-involved shooting. The names of the husband, involved deputies, and Tualatin PD officer are not being released at this time. What could be worse than hitting a Clackamas County Sheriff's Office patrol car while attempting to flee the police? Doing it twice. Obviously worse. A 23-year-old woman was arrested early Monday morning after she struck a patrol car twice with a stolen vehicle while attempting to flee a deputy in a hotel parking lot, according to the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office. Just after midnight, a deputy spotted a Mitsubishi sedan parked in a handicapped spot at the Sunnyside Inn and Suites in Clackamas, police said. The sheriff's office said the deputy ran the plates and they came back as belonging to a different vehicle. The deputy parked and approached the Mitsubishi, which was occupied by two women. The deputy contacted the driver, later identified as Madison Taylor Carden of Milwaukee. According to the sheriff's office, the deputy noticed that the car's VIN was covered and he could smell fresh paint as though the vehicle had recently been spray painted. When the deputy asked for identification, the sheriff's office said Taylor Carden started the vehicle and went into reverse, striking the deputy's patrol car. She then headed southbound through the hotel parking lot. Knowing there wasn't an exit to the south, the deputy grabbed the spike strips and waited for Taylor Carden to return, which she soon did. Taylor Carden hit the deputy's vehicle for a second time before continuing northbound through the parking lot. The sheriff's office said another deputy arrived and blocked Taylor Carden from leaving the parking lot. Taylor Carden then climbed out of the window and attempted to flee on foot, but a deputy was able to take her into custody. The passenger was detained, but later released, according to the sheriff's office. It was later determined the Mitsubishi had been reported stolen out of Gresham. The sheriff's office said deputies located methamphetamine, LSD, drug paraphernalia, the original license plates to the vehicle, and a pair of brass knuckles when they searched the vehicle. Taylor Carden was booked in the Clackamas County Jail for charges of unauthorized use of a vehicle, attempt to elude, reckless driving, reckless endangering, hit and run, felon in possession of a restricted weapon, possession of methamphetamine, and a parole violation warrant. Her bail is set at $50,000. For video of the incident, visit our website at canbefirst.com. Clackamas County is offering $1 million in grants to small businesses with 25 employees or less and childcare providers located in Clackamas County that have been adversely affected by economic conditions associated with the COVID-19 pandemic. Half of the $1 million will be used for small businesses and half, $500,000, is set aside for grants to child care providers. These grants, provided in partnership with Micro Enterprise Services of Oregon, MESO, will be for a maximum of $5,000 for small businesses and $9,999 for a licensed or license-exempt child care provider. Any business-related operating expenses not covered by previous grant assistance dollars are eligible for grant funding, including but not limited to payroll, rent, mortgage, utilities, perishable inventory losses due to required closures, payments to suppliers, costs associated with reopening PPE, and cleaning supplies. Businesses that received a grant in an earlier phase of this program may receive another grant as long as they can demonstrate additional need. Applications are available online at mesopdx.org/grants and will be accepted through December 5th, 2020. All completed applications received by the deadline will be considered. Clackamas County encourages applicants from minority-owned, women-owned, and veteran-owned businesses and child care providers, as well as sole proprietorships. The county, MESO, and the Grant Review Committee will work to ensure equitable distribution among all applicants. The City of Canby has also made up to $150,000 in federal coronavirus relief funding available to locally owned small businesses through the new Canby Business Resiliency Grant Program. For links to and contact information for all of these opportunities, find this story on our website, canbefirst.com. Access Technologies Incorporated is partnering with Clackamas County Social Services to provide computers or tablets to lower-income older adults in Clackamas County as a way to help vulnerable seniors stay connected in the social distancing era. The program will assist with purchasing, setting up, and maintaining the equipment for up to 12 months. Participants will also receive training and technical support and may also be reimbursed to the cost of cellular or internet services. The participants will keep the computers or tablets at the conclusion of the 12-month program. To qualify, participants must live in the Clackamas County and be at least 55 years old and have an income or combined income with a spouse that is at or below the 185% of the federal poverty index. Participants must also not have access to other technology at the time of their request and must have no other means of paying for their technology needs. Interested residents should apply before the end of the year. Access Technologies Incorporated is a nonprofit whose mission is to help Oregonians with disabilities acquire assistive technology to live independently. For more information about resources they have available, call 503-361-1201. For Liz Yazzolino, head secretary at Eccles Elementary School, it started with a nagging cough. There's something you tend to notice in a pandemic centered around a respiratory illness, but two negative tests confirmed she did not have COVID-19. She went to urgent care, and they thought it was probably just asthma, recalled her husband, Jerry Yazzolino. They took some blood for testing, prescribed a couple inhalers, and sent her on her way. It was just not asthma. Last week, Liz awoke to see she had missed a call in the middle of the night. It was a lab tech telling her to immediately go to the emergency room as soon as she got the message. At Legacy Meridian Park Medical Center in Tualatin, doctors informed the Yazzolinos that Liz's red blood cell count was terminally low, less than half of where it should be. Her iron count was also alarmingly low. It basically meant her body was not only losing blood somewhere, it also wasn't making any new blood, Jerry said. They did 3 blood transfusions throughout that day to boost her count. Through a gastrointestinal endoscopy, her doctors went hunting for the suspected culprit, a slow-bleeding ulcer. Unfortunately, what they found was much worse, a cancerous tumor in her colon the size of a baseball. Some rare good news arrived on Friday, November 20th, as a CT scan was unable to locate cancer anywhere else in Liz's body. The next day, she went under the knife to remove the tumor from her colon. The surgery was successful, and Liz is recovering well, Jerry reports. She's very sore and a little scared and really just shocked that she was sick for so long and didn't realize it, he said. Despite the successful procedure, Liz is not out of the woods yet. Her oncologist has diagnosed her with stage 2A cancer out of 4 stages and prescribed a cycle of chemotherapy that begins early next month. Given the grand scheme of things, we feel very, very lucky that she is where she is right now, home and healing. Because that almost wasn't the case, Jerry said. We have a wonderful team working to make sure she's going to have a healthy, long life. For now, it's rest and recovery until she starts chemo. Liz Yazzolino has a long history in Cambie, particularly in the school community. She was president of the PTA at Eccles for 7 years before being offered the position of head secretary. All of her children attended Eccles, as did Jerry, a native Cambieite. She remains the strong, amazing, beautiful person she always has been and is determined to take this on with the tenacity and passion that she puts into everything else, Jerry said of his wife. While her cancer diagnosis was in no way expected, Jerry admitted this week he was very thankful for that annoying little cough that wouldn't go away and ultimately saved her life. As someone who was born and raised in this town, I truly appreciate the special community we live in and how we always help each other when things happen, Jerry said. We never thought that we would be on this end of things, but that's life sometimes, and we will make it through.
B14068N7040.
Hey, Frankie, what are you doing?
Well, I was trying to win this direct link pattern bingo game. That Hallmark gift basket is as good as mine.
Direct link bingo game?
You bet. Our local internet provider is hosting a virtual bingo game to show appreciation for their members. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, super cool. Who does that?
Direct link does. They miss seeing their members during these difficult times and wanted to offer a fun way to stay engaged and win some sweet prizes.
They really do work hard to embody that cooperative spirit, don't they?
Well, October is Cooperative Month, and DirectLink is a cooperative that was started back in 1904 by local farmers, so bingo kind of makes sense. They are one of roughly 260 remaining communications co-ops in the U.S. who provide connections over 40% of the land so that more than 50 million rural Americans have the technology that they need to thrive.
Well, that's pretty unique. So how does bingo work?
DirectLink members were mailed a bingo card at the beginning of September. Simply visit directlink.coop/bingo or DirectLink Facebook page every weekday to get that day's bingo number and cross it off your card. They're playing 4 different simultaneous games, with the blackout prize being a 4-pack of tickets to a 2021 Mariners game.
Okay, wow. Get out of my way. I gotta go get my card right now.
Good luck, you know, on everything except that Hallmark basket, because, like I said, that's mine.
Well, how about just a little bit of semi-normalcy for the Christmas season this year? Joining us on the Canby Conversation today is Craig Holbrook. He's the newly rehired, I guess, or re-added. You can explain those details to us, Craig, but director of the Canby High School Drama and Theater Club, the Thespians. And you guys have a Zoom radio show that you're planning for the holiday season in lieu of, obviously, a traditional in-person winter production. Hi, Craig.
Hi. Yeah, I just got added on to the staff 4 weeks ago, and then
congratulations.
Waited, you know,
I know you've been wanting that for a while.
Yes, I have, and I've been very excited. I've been working with the department as a designer, a technical director, directed curtains,
right,
and never had the title job.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's how that worked.
Last year's teacher took a full-time position with Rex Putnam.
Oh, cool.
Which I believe was kind of his dream job.
Yeah.
He student taught there. He may have very well been an alumni there as well, but he took that job this year.
Okay.
So it was open, and then with COVID, they weren't sure what they were going to be able to do or if anything. Yeah. And then finally the kids were, you know, really asking for some direction and some advisor help. And so
yeah.
Principal Denza put up a notice, and I reapplied again, I guess you could say, and got the position. So,
awesome.
But that, like I say, that was just recently. So, they weren't able to do a fall show. But I knew they wanted to do something, and I really wanted to do something. So we are going to, the easiest thing to do within the short amount of time we have, before the end of the year, would be a radio show, where we could do it via Zoom or record it via Zoom, script in hand.
Yes.
So, you know, we don't have to worry about memorizing lines or acting out scenes. It'll be just like old time radio, but we're going to be able to see the performers with text in hand. So we're going to do The Cinnamon Bear, is originally written and recorded in 1937. Was very popular here in the Portland area, and especially in the Northwest.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the old Lippmann's department store used to have a Cinnamon Bear booth where kids could go in and see the Cinnamon Bear around Christmas time, just like right across the hall from Santa.
Right.
And it still plays on radio stations in the Northwest and in Portland. So I thought this would be a terrific one. We've seen and heard a lot of Christmas stories, Christmas carols. I'm forgetting one that we get a lot. I thought this would be something that people in our area haven't heard a whole lot of, at least our students do. So we cast it. We had auditions last Monday, cast it Tuesday. We start rehearsals Tuesday.
Okay.
It will go up on YouTube December 18th and 19th at 7 p.m. And what I will do is it will go up at 7 p.m. And then shortly after it airs, I'll make that one private so that people will have to tune in the next night to hear it. And then Sunday or Monday, make them both public again so they can tune in at any time.
Gotcha.
And it's going to be on the...
It'll be two different performances, though. They're not just rebroadcasting
the same
thing.
We're going to record it.
Okay. But
probably early in the week, and it'll be the same performance each time.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. But we want to offer a couple of different evenings just so people can tune in. And I think on both evenings, the chat will be open, so you can chat with the actors, you can chat with each other, you can make comments.
Oh, that is so cool.
So it'll be a live look-in as everyone tunes in.
I love that.
And that's going to be on the Thespian Troupe 632 YouTube channel.
Okay.
And I sent you a link to both performances.
Yep.
And we will be sending that out via Facebook and any and every Instagram that we have.
Yes.
So
yes, awesome. Well, I know from experience that the Can Be Thespians, all the kids that are part of that, do maintain a very active Instagram presence. So,
yeah, they're on there a lot. And Cousteau Ladig, I believe, is in charge of that one, or at least helping oversee that, and awesome. And is right on it.
Very cool. So, yeah. So the Cinnamon Bear is new to me. I'm not from the Northwest natively. But I was doing some research on it in preparation for talking to you, and when I found out you guys were doing this, and yeah, like you say, it has a really interesting history, as particularly with Portland and the Portland area.
Yeah.
I trying to remember if it was the first time it ever aired, or maybe just a later airing, but at some point in its history, Portland radio stations, rather famously or infamously, I guess, aired it a week early. They started it a week early. So it traditionally would be broken up into like 6-week segments of like 10 or 12 minutes each. And then they would air it weekly from, you know, starting the week of Thanksgiving and then going to the week of Christmas. So for 6 weeks. But yeah, one year Portland radio stations did accidentally pull the trigger a little too early, and so they ran out. They had to rebroadcast twice the ending,
right,
to get to Christmas.
Yeah, it ended the week before Christmas instead of on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve.
Yes. But
I think they set it up now so that it ends on Christmas Eve.
Okay,
cool. You know, so it builds the story builds to finding their silver star and getting back in time for Christmas.
Christmas
Eve.
Just this kind of like cute little Christmas story, like so many of these, you know, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and so many like beloved mm-hmm. Christmas things. They kind of started as marketing ploys.
Right.
And I think the Cinnamon Bear has a similar history, where it was created by some people to draw interest in visiting their department store. But is this cute story about, you know, going to this magical land and meeting the Cinnamon Bear who helps them find their silver star. And yeah, like you said, started in 1936, has so much staying power to still be being broadcast, and it has become so beloved to so many people. I was out at the Canby Community Food and Toy Drive-Through Pickup event today at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds.
Oh, that was today. Okay.
They're also doing it next Saturday.
Okay.
So December 5th. So they're just,
because I normally go and help drive, you know, the stuff to houses and things.
Actual pickup for the folks that are receiving stuff is not till the 11th, I believe. So you haven't missed that. What they're doing now, Craig, is they're collecting toys because they can't have as many barrels out as they normally do.
Right.
Some of their volunteers are a little bit older and, you know, don't need to circulate quite as much this year.
Certainly, yeah.
So they're asking people to come drop them off at the fairgrounds. They have a contactless setup. And the reason I'm bringing this all up is not to plug the food and toy drive, although you definitely should support it if you can.
Yes,
I was just wandering through their big warehouse where they're collecting and, you know, age categorizing everything. And there was a big stack of Cinnamon Bear books. It was the first time I had seen that. So, yeah, I guess they've created like a storybook version of it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. There was even, I think, an animated show, movie, television, something. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So you guys are doing it a little differently than the traditional radio setup, where it's not going to be over a course of weeks. It's all six parts or whatever all at once. Is that right?
That's right. There's a script available that edits it all down. So the narrator, because it goes for, you know, 26 episodes of, like you say, 10 to 12 minutes each.
Yeah.
But each one is entered previously on, and then the narrator at the end is all, like, oh, golly, what's going to happen? You know,
yeah,
I'll be here next time. But the narrator gets a large chunk of text in the middle to say, you know, this happened, this happened, this happened, and now we find them. So they condense it quite a bit.
Gotcha.
Okay. So we're not going to be, you know, 3 hours long.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know. How big is the cast?
We're at 14.
Okay. Great. I'd love to hear just, Craig, how the kids are doing. You mentioned that there was a lot of interest in just doing something, and I certainly believe it. I know we at the Canby Current have covered quite a bit of the challenges of student athletes and you know, not being able to do sports sometimes at all, or in many ways just not the same, and the challenges that has been, because so much of as a young person, you know, I'm sure you are the same, and you know, I certainly remember your extracurricular activities, whether they be sports or something like drama or choir or whatever, are such an important part of your high school experience and really your identity.
Oh, yeah.
Your identity as a teenager, as you're figuring that stuff out. And a lot of that has been lost. So can you tell us just a little bit about how our friends at Canby High School Thespians are doing and how excited they are to be able to have something like this?
There's a core group that's really maintained connection. And then there are the peripherals that are interested and part of the program, but it's difficult because you're not seeing each other every day.
Yeah.
So you lose that sense of community, that you're not always hanging out in the green room or seeing each other every day.
Oh yeah.
So,
sure.
That, you know, getting everyone back on board and involved is the first step. And we didn't have as many people audition as I thought we would. I think two reasons for that. One is some of them are just so exhausted from doing Zoom and online stuff.
Yes, yes, I'm sure.
And not having that contact. And I think, you know, they want to be involved. They didn't necessarily audition, but they want to be involved somehow. So we're going to, you know, make sure they're still involved. And the outlook is very positive, and people are excited to get going and do something. And the hope is always there in the back of their mind that eventually we'll be able to get together.
Yeah.
You know, which is part of my plans for the rest of the year, the future, is doing things together, even if we don't have the ability to be in front of a live audience.
Yeah.
You know, large groups are going to be difficult. So, and I think the next one is high schoolers don't always like to do children's theater.
Oh, sure. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah.
It's, you know, I remember a couple of years ago asking, okay, what do we want to do for a musical before curtains, just getting some sounding and some sense of where their heads were at.
Yeah.
And you know, the first thing was like, no animal costumes.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm flashing back to my drama days in high school, and I totally get that. Like, yeah, we high school kids always want to project to be older, right? Like, we want to pretend like we're adults. We want to project younger and pretend to be kids,
right? And we used to, when I was in at Canby, we would do grade school shows, you know, and we'd bring over the grade schools for matinees.
Uh-huh.
And I remember there was like, you know,
yeah, this.
Getting out and having done children's theater myself, sometimes they're your most loving audience.
Oh yeah.
You know, they're the ones who, you saw Cinderella a couple of years ago. They're the ones who are out in the lobby just wanting hugs and wanting to meet the actors and, or the characters as it were.
Yeah. No, now at age, know, so, at age 32, man, give me a room of 6-year olds over teenagers any darn day of the week, man. Absolutely.
So I'm hoping that, you know, we're not going to make a run or string of children's shows, but I thought this was a great way and a great thing to get the ball rolling, and especially at holiday times.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have done an episode of The Shadow or something, but you know, I think we'll draw more ears with a holiday show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did, you know, we have plenty of cast members and we have some really good ones, and those that didn't audition are on board for, you know, helping out any way they can. So we're going to have live Foley artists. A couple of the people want to do the sound effects and stuff, so they're going to be on camera doing live sound effects.
Very cool.
So that'll be very fun.
Yeah. I know that there was an effort to see if you know, if the Cantilenas or choir were doing anything. Did anything pan out there, Craig?
Well, once we got the new lockdown, Brooks Ginrich was sort of stuck with, because doing music via Zoom is just almost impossible.
Yeah.
But he is, they are doing, recording a couple of songs. And if they get recorded and edited and available, we're going to plug them into our show.
Okay, great.
So
fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that.
Great. So that'll be awesome. Yeah. And several of our performers are also in Cantalinas too. So they get a little double duty.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. I love it. I do have a bit of nostalgia for like the radio programs, and especially this time of year, right? As soon as I heard that you guys were doing this, I just thought it was such a home run, and I was really excited about it. And I do think a lot of other folks in the community will enjoy it as well. So I really appreciate you guys making something happen during these difficult times, to do things like drama and music and art.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Tuesday night when we have our first read through.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Okay, well, before we let you go, Craig, can you tell us a little bit about your plans for next year as well? I know a lot of it is kind of dependent on vaccines and kind of what, you know, how we manage through this winter and really just everything and everything COVID. But, I mean, do you at least have some idea of what type of material you'd like to do, even if it's, like you mentioned, no in-person audience or whatever?
Yeah. Well, right now I'm working on navigating through this school year.
Yeah.
And
sure.
Before I start considering next year, we're going to flip flop. We normally do senior directed one acts in the spring. We're going to do those winter term.
Okay.
And probably put those up February, because I think with their smaller casts and their shorter shows, you know, usually they're 15 minutes or less.
Yes.
With two or three actors. And it'll be easier for the students to direct those and put those up where we're at right now.
Yeah.
And then we're hoping in spring we'll be able to do a musical.
Okay, great.
A musical or a play,
yeah,
depending.
Yeah.
We're hoping that even if we don't have a live audience, we'll be able to get together, rehearse, and film something. A lot of the royalties holders are making streaming available. So they're releasing streaming rights.
Okay.
So it's a question of finding a show that we want to do that also has streaming rights available.
Yeah.
And then there's ticketing. We're not selling tickets or anything for Cinnamon Bear, but as we get later in the year, and if we get to do a musical or a play, there are ticketing agents where you go online, you buy a ticket, that gives you a link, and then you see the show. And it only runs that period, that time.
Yeah.
So you can watch it then, and then it goes off, and you don't have access to it. So that's one of the things I'm working on. And I have an idea, but I want to talk to the company and see what their ideas are, and if they have any visions or thoughts of what type of show or specific shows that fit those parameters.
Yeah.
To sure. do.
Sure.
And then we still have maybe Thespians regionals and state, which right now they're all scheduled to be online.
Okay, cool. Yeah, those one act plays, a lot of times students will write them themselves as well, right?
We get the occasional.
Okay, every now and
then. That takes a lot.
Okay, yeah.
usually you get on a university level before you get students who jump in fully, write their own material and rehearse it direct, you know,
yeah,
the whole thing.
Yeah.
But it has happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember there was one last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think with all the struggle and challenges, it'd be interesting to see some of the material that students come up with. I'm sure,
yeah,
you know, challenge tends to breed artistic creativity. It'd be interesting.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. 2 years ago I judged the playwriting competition at Thespian State and saw some really good stuff from young authors.
Yeah.
So
well, last thing before we let you go that I wanted to ask Craig is just kind of how the Canby Community Theater troupe is holding up, of which you are also a longtime part.
Well, we've got a lot of our peeps, a lot of our people reading with me in our Shakespeare Readers Club.
Yeah.
This month we'll be reading Comedy of Errors on the 20th. So right after our Cinnamon Bear, we'll be gathering via Zoom or spread out in my shop if we can.
Yeah.
And reading Comedy of Errors. There hasn't been a lot of talk about next summer. We'll probably hit January and then see where we are. I have the same two shows from last summer in mind.
Right.
And we're hoping, knock on wood, that we can make it happen.
Yeah. Okay.
There was a lot of excitement, a lot of interest in those two shows. And I think, you know, if everything plays out, you know, we can make it happen.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And if not on stage at the FAC in front of people, we'll figure something out.
Yeah. Yeah. How has that been going? The Shakespeare readings? Is it nice just to reconnect with each other love of theater?
It's great. It's great. I had, 9 or so people in my shop, last month. We did Henry the Sixth Part One, which has over 30 speaking roles.
Okay.
So,
election season, you decided to do Henry the Sixth, huh?
That's right. Yeah. Let's talk about political turmoil.
Yes.
You know, and,
yes.
Rightful rulers, etc.
Yes.
It was fun, and Henry the Sixth Part One also features Joan of Arc.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Which of course Shakespeare and the English don't deal with real nicely. So she starts out as a heroine and then ends up sort of the villain.
Yeah, but
that's the English viewpoint of the French, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and this month we're doing Comedy of Errors, which only has 19 roles, and so I told them, you know, in the email, hey, it's first come, first serve this time.
Yeah, yeah.
They've been going great, and it's been a lot of fun.
That's fun. And that's not something you rehearse or anything. You just kind of read through.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm quite sure several people come in never having read the play before.
Okay.
And so it's a cold read. I try and say, do a little scholarship.
You know,
do a little reading. It does help you understand the material a little more.
Yeah.
But hey, the best example of that, we were reading Titus Andronicus. And Titus kills his daughter, and it comes out of nowhere. And I was reading Titus and read the lines, and the stage manager goes, he kills her. And one of the actors goes, wait, what? No, what? It was brilliant, because that's what you want your audience to do.
Right.
But
I can just imagine that I'm picturing that taking place on stage. And one of the actors being like, wait, what?
Yeah. <That'd be great. laughs> Turning around. Well, there's an old joke leading to that. They cast a football player in the school play, and he couldn't make rehearsals. And that's fine. He has one role, Hark the Cannons Roar. So they finally get up to dress rehearsal, and he's got a practice called Can't Make It. So fine. You come in, you stand here. The cannons roar, and then you say your line, Hark the Cannons Roar. Okay. So opening night, Big comes out there. He's on stage. Boom, boom, boom. And he goes, what the hell was that?
I mean, he nailed the sentiment.
He had it exactly right.
Yeah.
Wasn't what the author wrote, but boy, no.
He had the spirit of it. He nailed it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think we'll leave it there, Craig, unless you have anything else to share. Thanks so much for your time and for your working with our students and giving them something to look forward to during this challenging period.
The only thing I'd leave with is a call to help us grow the theater in Canby.
Yeah.
Support it. Come see it. If you're an alumni and you're out of town, buy a ticket, leave it at the box office. We'll get it to somebody who can use it. Let's get more bodies in the theater and support the kids and the community who are up on stage, because it's a very valuable resource. And and also a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. Thanks, Craig. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. Mm-hmm. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was gonna go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate and we got in a carriage ride with the horse and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months, sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Mm-hmm. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me.
Yeah.
3 generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life. Mm-hmm.
How can people find you?
How can they not, really? we have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
Hey everybody, this is Tyler Frankie with the Canby Current. We're out at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds for the Canby Kiwanis Community Toy and Food Drive drive-through pickup. Did I get all that right, Todd?
Yeah, you got that right. Hey, this is Todd Garrett. I'm with Canby Kiwanis. We're out here today and we're accepting toys. New toys, you can just drop them by today. No contact, drop them off, put them in the bins. Our bins are empty right now. We need to fill up the bins. Come out here, help us fill the bins. We then take them inside. We use a decontamination machine to spray them down, and then they get sorted. So, you know, in a couple weeks, we'll distribute those toys to people that aren't so lucky this year. This is a rough year for everybody. We understand that. We're not able to do food. We're giving gift cards this year instead of doing food, but we are still gonna do toys. So please come out, drop a toy off. If you can't make it out today, we'll be here next weekend. And there's also a few barrels around town at some different places. So drop your toys off and please help us out this holiday season.
This drive every year for the past like 10 years or so has served hundreds of local families, almost 1,000 kids is the average for gifts.
About 1,200 kids.
Oh, wow.
Usually about 300 families get food.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a big undertaking.
Yeah. And you talked about the sterilization. I mean, you've been part of Kiwanis for a long time, been part of this drive for a long time, but that's a big part of your role this year, right? Making sure the decontamination, because, you know, your role with the fire, you and EMT, you've learned a lot about COVID this past year.
We're lucky the fire department loaned us some misters.
Mm-hmm.
And Molella Fire Department got a grant to make the decontamination stuff that we use in the misters that they're getting all the fire department.
Right, and that's a machine that produces mist. You're not talking about men that they loaned.
Yes.
Right.
So it's a machine that we just spray everything down with.
That's great.
To decon it. So yeah, it's a pretty cool deal. Who would have thought we'd ever have to do something like that?
Yeah, but I mean, it's great that you guys are still figuring out ways to make it happen because it does touch so many lives in our community every year and people that might not otherwise have a Christmas or Christmas might be very different and a lot sadder.
Yeah, we were really worried this year that we weren't going to be able to do
sure,
it.
Sure, sure.
And then we started sitting down and figuring out ways we could. We looked at how can we, not how can't we.
Right.
And we were able to do it.
Well, normally, I mean, there's like 30, 40 baskets out, and that's where a lot of the toys 50, come through.
52,
yeah, you probably visited each one, so you know them by name. We're doing this because, you know, obviously present company excluded, but some of your volunteers are a little bit older, a little bit more of that vulnerable population.
Absolutely.
And so you were looking for ways to keep them safe as well.
Yep. And that's a big part of it. We are older.
our club is.
And we're going win to win today and also next weekend.
So we will be here 11 to 2. So we'll be here till 2 o'clock today. Same hours next weekend, 11 to 2.
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday.
The 5th, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. The 5th. Cool. And if folks need help this year, if you're needing some help with your groceries or getting toys for your kids, that is now open. There's forms on the website.
You can also go by the thrift store.
Yes.
And you can pick up forms at the thrift store. It is open only till the 1st.
Okay.
So Tuesday is the last day.
Yeah.
Really need to get those in, because what that does is it helps us plan.
Yeah.
And we can plan ahead. We will take drive-ups, but we would rather not.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Absolutely. And it is, we're having a little bit of fun out here today.
We are having a blast.
We've got Santa.
We've had T-Rex.
We have had T-Rex family. They have been doing jump rope.
Yes.
You may have seen them before, but I don't think you've seen them do that. That's a new thing that they just added today. Very funny. Very funny. I took some video and some photos. We'll share those later with you guys so you can see. But it's great.
And we got one Oregon State fan.
Yes, we do.
Yes, the greatest Oregon State fan.
We just lost all of our viewers. Thanks, Todd. Thanks a lot for that. I'm going to go talk to Angela real quick. Anything else you wanted to say?
I don't think so. Just come out. Look into Kiwanis if you're looking for a service club.
Yeah.
Look at Kiwanis.
Website, canbykiwanis.org.
Right
Absolutely.
Now,
what?
It's free right now.
Go
Kiwanis. There's no membership fee.
We're coming over here to talk to Angela and Santa.
Could Santa dress for Kiwanis?
Angela, tell us a little bit about what we're doing out here today, if you would.
And
who are you?
Oh, hi, I'm Angela Baker. I am the president-elect of Canby Kiwanis. And today we are just asking for you to make those toy donations or even financial donations will work as well. We've got the elf out front who was waving you into the fairgrounds and the T-Rex family. You can come and contact us, drop off your toys. We're ready for you. And then definitely stop and see Santa here.
Come on down.
Santa needs some kids to see. So you can stop and take a picture out front here outside the tent if you'd like as well. So I think that's something that not a lot of people are doing right now.
Yeah. And I have to say, like, it seems, seeing Santa from the car, it is so fun. The kids love it so much. And Santa talks to them and says, thank you for helping me out this year with my toys. The kids love it. They absolutely love it. It's blown me away.
Loves to see all of you, and so grateful for what you do. And God bless you as well.
Thank you, Santa.
All right. Letters to Santa too.
Yes.
If you don't have a toy to donate, we've got the elf out here taking the letters to Santa.
Right. We got a mailbox here. Yes, he does. Okay, great. So 11 to 2 today, and then next Saturday as well. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Santa. Canby Kiwanis, you guys are amazing. Thank you for all your work in our community, especially during a tough year.
Hey, Frankie, you okay? You seem kind of down.
Yeah, I'm just bummed. I miss going to the wild hair. I know you can still get takeout and all, but... it's just not the same.
You know they're open again, right?
What?
Yeah, they've been open for a while now. Don't you cover, like, the news?
Hey, I'm only human, okay?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that the Wild Hare and their amazing staff are thrilled to be open again for delicious meals and fun times. They are strictly following all the recommended safety guidelines, and they have the only covered outdoor patio in Canby, with lots of tables spaced 6 feet apart and umbrellas also spaced 6 feet apart, and fantastic ambiance. And hey, if you're still more comfortable with carryout, they can hook you up there too. Find their menu and other information online at thewildhairsaloon.net or check them out in Canby and Oregon City. Anything to add, Frankie? Frankie? Oh, I guess he left. God, he must have been really hungry. Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Cambie is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Cambie's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.